Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey guys, with sports betting season in full force with football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sports book industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BETUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 1-800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using bonus code SST125. That's SST125. They have re-up and referral bonuses. Also, BetUS is known among America's favorite sportsbook for lots of reasons. Bet on team and player props, loads of NFL futures, UFC matches, PGA golf, live betting on most sports. The online casino has hundreds of games. The Racebooks has all the horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. Bet US.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Right now, today, your coach and AD need to be reworking future schedules as much as possible. We're talking extremes, friends. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday, and I hope you're having just a glorious day. And I mean that, wherever you're listening. If you're in Pascagoula, Mississippi, all right, right here, right there. Maybe you're up in either of our stations, up in way up in Kentucky. Maybe you're in Gainesville, Florida, Savannah, Valdosta. What up, Phil? Appreciate everybody listening every single day. I mean that. I said right now, today, if you're a college football fan, you got a team. I got a team. Dan's got a team. David's got two teams. And your coach, no matter who. In fact, I'll use David. David's our engineer. He's back there on the ones and twos. His two teams are Ohio State and Western Kentucky. No disrespect to the Hilltoppers, but I'm going to try to get this right, and I bet I'm going to be close. I think they played their transitional provisional season in like 08, 09 or 07, 08 or whatever. They were hard. Then they really got good because they started getting Sunday guys into that program, and they started going to bowl games, and now they're a team that I play with Prize Picks. Man, I've told you, Bailey's app, gimme, gimme, gimme. But then there's Ohio State, okay? The other extreme. One program has been playing about 12 years of this level of college football. The other is as heritage and history and Heisman and Natty as there is. Both of those coaches, both of those ADs need to be doing the exact same thing right now. Reworking their future schedules as much as possible. And when I say we're talking extremes, no matter who you root for, you want your program to play all of your non-conference games in September and against the worst competition you can schedule. The reason? Brother, you need PT for as many players as possible, as many snaps as possible, and they need to score touchdowns and get sacks and get an NIL deal. Why? So that they will stay past week four. It's portal week, as some teams have now played four games, and almost all others are getting there this week. I invite you, the access to the actual portal, I mean, you be Paul Feinbaum, like Media Maka. He doesn't have access to the actual database. You have to be a coach or an administrator in a football program, and then you get to the actual database. You can Google your computer. I go to 24/7 Sports, man. I throw them a bone. They do a great job with the transfer portal. It's updated every single day. And so go to the 24/7 or wherever you see the portal, and you'll just see names and dates that they entered and previous rankings and eligibility, et cetera. That's if you just want nuts and bolts and dates and times and, like, information you get off a driver's license. If you would like something a little more verbiage to it, headline, Utah quarterback Charlie Brewer leaves team after three starts. Charlie Brewer was a four-year starter at Baylor, transferred to Utah because he had 1 year of eligibility left. By transferring at this point in the season, Brewer can use this as his red shirt and will be eligible to play at another school next season. Charlie Brewer, my understanding, he's a tough kid. Smart kid, talented kid. I've seen him make plays. And after three games, he was like, yeah, this ain't working for me. Gone. Bailey Hockman just did the same thing. Did you see that at Middle Tennessee State? Bailey Hockman, the former NC State, former Florida State quarterback. And I don't know if he's going to play football at all now. But he has options at least. Why? We didn't get past four games. And I still had – if I was eligible in 2021 and I pull the cord and parachute away after not playing in more than four games, hey – this year's eligibility, actually, I can use it next year. Even if I'm Charlie Brewer and I've now played four and a half seasons of college. Four and a half seasons already. So it's portal week. And if you're one of them silly Billy conferences playing nine conference games, yeah, you need to stop that now. You need to get on board with what the SEC has always done. When the conferences that would want it to look down from on high with superiority, the same conferences, some of them in the alliance, well, we even play extra conference games. This needs to be apples to apples. That's why the Pac-12 isn't represented, because we play tougher conference schedules. No, you play more conference games. You don't play you could play an all-conference schedule. Like, you play 12 of the other 13 teams. You still wouldn't approach it. So that's just more conference games. The SEC's like, yeah, we keep getting one or two or, you know, every single year. Yeah, we're going to do it our way. I will give you an example that is real close for next season. Mike Leach, right now, if he sits in his office, John Cohen?
Yeah, the former baseball coach.
John Cohen, Mike Leach, they powwow over biscuits tomorrow morning. And they're listening right now on the app. Coach, sup? So they're listening and going, wow, Chuck, great idea. They look at the 2000, by the way, I just spun the wheel, man. I picked a program. The only filter was it couldn't be a program that already has an in-state non-conference game. They have, like, Clemson and South Carolina, you can't apply this because you're always going to – now, for Clemson right now, they're like, yeah, we're good, South Carolina, whatever. But there's a reason you want it at the beginning of the season, and I'm going to go through this. So it had to be – the only filter was you couldn't have the in-state rival you have to, or the rival game you have to play – that was a non-conference game, because that would just – that, you know, FSU, they're like, yeah, Chuck, sounds good, but we got this team called the Gators we play. Miami, on the other hand, hey, works for us. So I picked Mississippi State, and right now the AD and the head coach, they need to be looking across a plate of biscuits at next year's football schedule – the first four games. Now, three of those games are the Memphis Tigers, Arizona, Bowling Green. third week of the season, they're in Baton Rouge. Mm-mm. In fact, Greg Sankey, he listens on the app. I don't know that. I'm just assuming. He needs a conference call as soon as possible, and then people need to convene in person, and so that you can have like a big board that everybody can look at. Because week three of next season, Mississippi State's like, whoa, we're close. Now, I wish it wasn't necessarily Memphis, because we've had some rough dealings. And that's the second part of it. Remember, I said all four non-conference games needs to be the first 4 weeks of the season, and it needs to be against the worst competition possible. Mississippi State, they're close as far as the non-conference, but week three, they're supposed to be in Baton Rouge. That'll get resolved because LSU don't want to play that game either. LSU don't want to play Mississippi State, even though they're better and it would be at home. We're not scared of them. Didn't say you're scared of them. I said it would be better to play Alcorn State than Mississippi State. And that's what you need at LSU, because suddenly Larry Five-Star going, wait a minute, I came here from Texas. I could have gone to Oklahoma, and I didn't get any carries. You know, against Mississippi State, when we got into the fourth quarter and it was 24-21, somebody? The freshman ain't playing a whole lot in most cases. Not in week three. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't play LSU today. We played McNeese State. All right. Hey, Larry, go get you some. And we'll even run a little pace. Why? So that Larry doesn't get four carries. Larry gets like seven. And he catches a pass, too. Memphis, Arizona, Bowling Green. Those are the three non-conference games. And again, you shot a little high there. But they're close. I'm calling East Tennessee State U and saying, hey, that November 19th thing next year, not happening. We need you here third week of the season. Good? Awesome. Love you. Click. And we're not playing East Tennessee State on November 19th. Are you out of your mind? I've got four kids from my recruiting class that I busted my tail to get into this program and qualified into this program. And instead of playing East Tennessee State, we played LSU? No. It could even be a kid we way over recruited, but I want him in the program. Why? Well, I'm going to pour some water on him, put him in the sun. He's going to grow, and he's going to be a ball player eventually. And we'll find that out by keeping him here against LSU. Whoo, he ain't ready. Against East Tennessee State? He's a little bit ready. Right now, my coach, everybody's coaches, even David's, that is Western Kentucky and Ohio State. Everybody listening right now, your coach and your AD need to be changing those schedules right now.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Not really pay attention to the rankings. We definitely try to be the best. We try to get more takeaways, more sacks, And I think if you focus on the individual things, then the rankings will take care of itself. You know, we want to do whatever you can in the game, you cause havoc. So whatever happens at the end, whatever we rank, that's what it is. But, you know, we just want to do whatever we can to win.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday, and that's big old John Jordan Davis. And I think he's all of those things. He's not old. That's a big, giant Jordan Davis. And can I clarify something? And I am going to speak for the young man because I'm positive about this. David, industry term, could you re-rack that? I would like, you don't have to play the music around it. You know, I would just like to hear Jordan Davis. There's one little word in there that I want to clarify. David, please.
Not really pay attention to the rankings. We definitely try to be the best. We try to get more takeaways, more sacks. And I think if you focus on the individual things, then the rankings will take care of itself.
There you go. All right, great. He said focus on the individual things, not like I want to win the Nagurski Award and I want to win this and I want to lead the league in sacks. And if you focus on your individual self, on your own game, if you say, well, I got mine, then the team goals. No. He was talking about the individual categories, and every team I've ever observed, even much less, you know, whatever, had any association with, you'll have goals for everything. It ain't a goal until you write it down. You got to post it somewhere. Put it down somewhere and post it, and then it's a real goal. And you have those, for instance, for each Friday night, Saturday, Sunday afternoon, you have those for each of those. You also have for the season, and you'll keep track of them on a big board that never give up, whatever it is, never give up 100 yards rushing. And so you'll go game by game, and you'll see that at the end of the season we played 12 games and we gave up 100 yards rushing in only three of those. That's what he's talking about, or create – fewer than 50% or 30% or whatever it is on third downs. 0% conversion on fourth downs. Zero. So those are the individual things he's talking about. And it actually does feed on itself. And when I say you post it, I mean on a giant, either erase board or plexiglass that you put the columns on, so everybody could see it. And week by week, and you put it on their video screen in their locker, if you're Texas or Oregon or places that have video screens in their lockers now. And they come in, when they turn their iPad playbook on, first it pops up, goals. And they see it. And it I'm telling you, it makes a difference. It feeds on itself. It's a really, really, really big deal, achieving goals. And it's cyclical, so it helps. What up, Dan?
Oh, not much. Are you familiar with the term JAG and what it stands for?
Just a
guy.
The acronym. Just a guy.
Just a guy.
Yeah, or, a ball player or a guy.
Or you could even make it the Dutch version of it, J-A-A-G right there. Just another guy.
Okay.
Is another way that you can do that. And that, in a sense, is what the Miami program is. I want to take people behind the curtain. A few years ago, I had a chance to catch up with Mark Richt before we even had him on at ACC kickoff when he was the head coach at Miami, and he said something that now is resonating more than ever with that program. And he looked at me and said, "We're, you know, the U doesn't matter anymore to these kids. They don't think about the U. You can show them the 30 for 30 and all these different things, and, you know, the old videos of Michael Irvin and Ray Lewis and all these other types of things of this program." But they're just like, okay, cool. Well, guess what I'm seeing right now at Alabama? I'm seeing that right now at Alabama. I'm seeing that at Florida. I'm seeing it at Clemson. I'm seeing it at all these different types of places.
There's something on the History Channel. It's World War II in color.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the Miami, you know, 83 championship game is. It's right. World War II in color to those kids.
I mean, because
same
that's,
thing.
That's what it is. You could take them to that camp and then show them the video, and they just be like, oh, man, this is boring. Why am I watching this? Why do I need to see this 80s grainy video to find out how things are? And it goes even further with Miami that I think it's just from the top down. I remember University of Houston years ago when I used to go to games with my parents at the old Houston Astrodome, and I thought, oh, my God, this is so boring. It seriously was watching football in a cave because there were about 20,000 people there because the Astrodome was so large and so cavernous.
Shadows.
All of those things, but especially If A&M came into town or Texas, then it was a huger game, all those different types of things. Miami's running into the same thing right now where they need to take the Tillman Fertitta approach. They need to find the right money, and they need to bring this stadium back closer to the campus, because them playing right now at Miami Gardens, it's not the reason that they don't have the buzz around the program they do. It's not the reason why they haven't been successful in years, but I'll say this. They're going to give themselves a better opportunity to get back to those ways if indeed they have something that is theirs and it is on campus, as opposed to going to a place that really just got a couple of nice screen doors and few coats of paint on it for them to say, oh, hey, this is a new stadium. It ain't, and it's too far.
I totally agree with you, and I agree with the part. It's not why they haven't been winning big, but you do what you can.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
To make it more likely, and an on-campus like UCF-style stadium is possible.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's portal week. Kansas done lost a running back. Utah lost starting quarterback. Now, the starting quarterback had lost the starting job, but it's portal week, because at the end of every story that you're going to see about this kid left this, you know, program, there's going to be, at the very end, is by transferring with no more than four games played this season, fill in the blank, Joe Smith retains his redshirt season, and his very last, on top of everything else, 2021 season. Actually, if he's got a redshirt left, yeah, that could be 2022. Want to welcome on now from LandryFootball.com. He is LandryFootball.com. Chris Landry, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good, Chuck. Good to be with you, man.
I appreciate you. I've been following transfer portal stuff. I say, as far as just like a running ticker tape, I go to 24/7 Sports, and they do a good, just like I said, it's just like driver's license information. As far as write-ups and commentary, there must have been smoke coming off your fingers with all the portal jumping and transfers. And this is the week, man. In addition to everything else you cover on LandryFootball.com, it's like cut-down week in the NFL almost, except it's the players leaving.
Yeah, it is. And these are the things that we talk about, unintended consequences, and, you know, the people that really don't know college football and say, well, this sounds like a really good idea. And, you know, it leads to this. And, you know, so you wonder what goes into these. Well, I think you know what goes into the decision, but why? It's a bad look. It's bad leaving your team this late. You feel like you're going to get a job, a starting job. You don't get it. Well, what does it say about you? And now, particularly if you're leaving for a second time, and, you know, for some of those guys that are prospects, I already know that it's a turnoff for me. And one of the things that I got to hear is I really got to know what the heck caused you to leave someplace twice. And, you know, that to me, you put yourself behind the eight ball there. But, you know, we're living in the world of instant gratification, and when you have the opportunities to leave whenever you want, you're going to get this. I'm old school, I admit it, but, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that, you know, one of the things that players should have to do, and I've always felt, they should have the opportunity to transfer within a more stringent rules and guidelines, because if you don't have that and you have this haphazard way, these players are going to make mistakes. And one of the things that I always try to teach and talk about is these guys may seem like mature, good decision makers, but they're young men that I think you have to have guardrails to prevent them from making mistakes that's going to hurt their future. You know, off the field, on the field, whether they're prospects or not, doesn't matter. Most of the time when you transfer, it's not a good situation. I said most, not all. There are other situations where I think it makes a lot of sense, but this is what's going to happen more and more. And I don't think it's good for the game, and I don't think it's good for the players. I think in most cases, the grass is not always greener.
Yeah, I was a pretty bright 21-year-old, and I drove an IROG Z28 and had a mullet. So, I mean, you know, Chris, at that age, we don't all make great choices, no matter, even if you got a pretty good bean, you know?
probably weren't alone then.
Yeah, and before, when we would have transfers, like Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray, they both left A&M. Here's the thing. It wasn't over playing time because they both had won the job and played. They were getting away from the dysfunction out there. That's not what it is anymore. It's like, oh, I played poorly. Like Charlie Brewer, I played poorly. I'm out.
Well, I think there's a time to do it, and I think there's a time in the schedule to do it. I just think there is such a bad look on the player when he leaves his team now. It just says an awful lot. I mean, if you want to do it at the end of the year, you can justify that. There are reasons for that. And I think they should have certain freedoms to do it. But, boy, just to say, I'm going to do it now. I mean, Charlie Brewer is, it's not that he was a really good prospect, but, you know, he's a young guy that – I mean, he's kind of a hard time convincing folks that he's trustworthy. You put that time and effort and energy into giving him reps and giving him opportunities, and, you know, he doesn't earn the job. But, well, how about this? Play better. Practice harder. Study more. Just be better. Oh, no, I'm going to go somewhere else where what I do is going to be good enough. That's a bad message we're sending to kids. Anyway, I know I've spent too much time on it, but
let's jump on the field. By the way, I want to tell everybody, go to LandryFootball.com. My favorite thing there is Scout's Eye on college football. And I know you do all in the podcast and the Twitch TV and everything updated every single day at LandryFootball.com. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Let's jump on the field and start in Tuscaloosa. And actually, I'm going to start in Gainesville. Under the banner of this is all in reference to Alabama football, Alabama standards. Why is the Alabama offensive line just kind of good? Why are the running backs performing just kind of good? Everything there is just kind of really good by Bama standards. Why is that?
Well, I think that the guys that they have that they've replaced the previous guys with are not playing as well. Why? Well, some of it's youth. A lot of it's technique. A lot of it, I think, will get better. But if you look at it, and I've always said, the teams that give Alabama's defensive front, defensive line in particular, trouble, the most trouble, are the Florida and the Ole Miss type offenses. Not so much the Georgia A&Ms. But so what they do against it, and you can't really look at it and say, all right, well, what did they do wrong without saying what they were doing, the teams were doing against them. What you see is a lot of different angle blocks that are getting up to the second level, that's getting good angles on the defensive line, getting a shoulder, getting an edge, and you're not doing a really good job of communicating with your line mate next to you, and then a guy comes free. Oh, it looks like, well, they're getting moved off the ball. They're getting moved off the ball because they're not getting good angles. You take a guy that's really big, really physical, and you get him false stepping, and you get him to where his feet are not shoulder width apart. I mean, you can be a 150-pound weakling and knock a 350-pound guy tip over like a top-heavy guy. And so what's happening is they're getting – well, Florida did. They got them misaligned, and they really did a good job of getting them misaligned, getting an angle, and then obviously they're getting moved off the ball. And then you throw into the effect of if you go back and look up until the game was 21-3, the defensive line was doing a pretty good job. But a couple of things happened. 3-3 and outs for Alabama. So, again, if you're able, and this is okay, well, talk about the defense. No. Got to talk about both in unison. I just try to get people to understand that better, Chuck, that they are a unit that works, that are connected. So if you're able to three series at least work 4 or 5 minutes off the clock and out of the three series get 6 points, 3 points, that game goes in a different direction. But you don't. You not only not get points, but more importantly, you put your defense right back on the field. And then you've got Florida making some adjustments. They started to do more movements, more angles, different ones, and out of different formations. And then all of a sudden, big drive, 90-yard drive, 99-yard drive. Well, what's happening, Chuck? Defense is on the field more and more. By the second half, that Alabama defense, their legs were done. You got linebackers trying to fill defensive line gaps. They were completely out of sorts. And so it is like a loose thread that you start to pull it, and then the whole seam comes through. That's what happens. And, you know, I think in the world of overreaction, oh, my God, this is a disaster, and this can't happen, and we have 5 stars, and, oh, the world. This is what happens. It matters that you have all those things. But what matters on top of that is how well you execute, how well you perform. And they didn't do a very good job. And, oh, by the way, this is a nouveau concept. Let's give Florida a lot of credit. They know how to call plays, scheme guys up, create formation variations, create good angles.
Agreed.
And they're going to see this against Ole Miss. In fact, they're going to see a better offense with Ole Miss. And Alabama is not going to stop Ole Miss. I will tell you right now, it's not going to happen. The only issue is going to be, is Alabama, I want to flip it to the other side, are they going to stay committed to and run the football better? Because that's the key, is to keep Ole Miss's defense on the field. Challenge how much better that Ole Miss defense truly is. And right now, I'm seeing some issues there more than anything else that, okay, the offensive line not doing a really good job, the defensive line that we talked about. But the offensive line, I see some real issues there. I thought that Florida did a good job with their defensive front, but to me it was more assignment errors up front that really caused some problems. And we talked a little bit about that was going to be an issue, and it's going to show itself up against really good, you know, better defenses. And I think Florida's defense is certainly better than what they've seen thus far this year.
Let's talk quickly the other side of it. Emory Jones, and I want to correct myself, because I said on Monday, I saw the best and worst of Emory on Saturday and how impressed I was. And I was like, no, I need to refine that, Chris. And I think this is an important nuance. I didn't see the best and worst of Emory. I saw the worst of Emory. And then in that same game against Alabama, I saw the best. After I had seen the worst, I saw the best of him. And like the best of Spence Rattler, that's 29 of 32 or something like that. That ain't ever going to be Emory Jones's line. I was really impressed with that kid and running the offense and being tough. And like I said, his numbers aren't going to necessarily be eye-popping. I liked what I saw from him on Saturday.
He's tough. He's a leader. He's a good runner. Those things are staples of his game, in what the head coach, play caller, quarterback teacher, quarterback guru is very good at. What can you do well? Let me accentuate what you do well, and let me avoid putting you in situations to do things that you don't do a very good job of. So what you have to do, and we said, kind of talked about it, is, all right, so what's going to be the plan? Well, force Alabama to defend an extra gap. So all the things we just talked about is, in addition to that, you got an extra gap to cover. And so now you are often wrong with your reads because of how they were doing things formationally and with the zone read. So basically what they were doing is they were reading the end and really having a lot of success of attacking Alabama off their movement. And, you know, that's just a great job by scheme, by formation. And that quarterback can run. And, you know, you're right. He's not going to sit there, you know, and I mean, you're not going to drop him back and say, survey the field and go through progressions and deliver the ball on time. He doesn't do that. Well, the head coach is not going to ask him to do that because that's not what he does. And he's not going to try to get him that much better at that. You know, he's going to work off of what he can. And guess what? When we're going to force you to defend an extra gap, we're going to pull the ball down some. We're going to make some RPO stuff, and we're going to get maybe the right type of matchup to where we can get the big chunk play. But you know what we really want to do? We want to wear your defense yep. out. We want to make you chase. We want to keep the ball. And you know what that's going to also do? That's going to help our defense a little more because they're going to stay fresh. Again, complimentary football. And yet, with all that said, and we're discussing it this way like everybody else is, you would think if it just came down from Mars – what was how much did Florida beat Alabama by again? I forgot.
Oh, that's oh, yeah, right. Alabama won.
That's no, that's right. exactly yeah. right. They still found a way, and yet I think that's important. It was I haven't seen a game in some time where a really good program in Florida where a loss clearly felt like a win. And I know a lot of people are caught. Oh, we're not happy. We're not good enough. They are dancing with because the alternative was that 21-3 was pretty close to being a 17-point Alabama win, in which the narrative is, man, Dan Mullen doesn't recruit well enough. This, you know, they've said, well, man, watch out against Georgia. I mean, look, you can't compete against, you know, that's the narrative how it was. But give them credit, they're getting a lot of bump and deservedly so yep. for playing Alabama close and almost getting it done. So we'll see what they do from there. What type of consistency? Can you take care of business? What do you do against Georgia? All those things to be determined. And, you know, last year they looked really good in doing, and then LSU came along, threw the shoe, played poorly, and all of a sudden became 8-4. So don't let that happen to you, Florida. Build on what was a really good performance.
We're on break. Come back. Continue with Chris Landry. That's next on a Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Every coach, every player, every team in sports history, at some point you look around, you're like, we need a get-right scenario. LSU needs a get-right scenario for their rushing attack, and that Mississippi State front ain't it. They're stout. They really are. And even with the loss to Memphis, that wasn't because they were just getting gashed on the ground. And LSU, I just can't tell you much about the prospects for their ground game. Here's the thing. You know, if you go back in time like a decade, it was kind of basic and I'll say, quote, boring to watch, but it was kind of effective 4.5, 5, 5.5 yards at a time with Terrence McGee and, you know, whoever else, Richard Murphy. This is not effective. And I don't even know who's going to be carrying the ball on Saturday at Mississippi State. And it's supposed to be a get-right scenario. I want to bring back in Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Chris, explain the LSU rushing attack to me.
Well, it starts up front. I think that they're some issues there that continue to be there, but I did see an improvement with some guys coming back healthy last week,
particularly because they've been out three starters. Yeah,
they have been. Now, you know, they did a better job creating some run creases, but here's the thing too. It's, you know, the old, well, it's a combination of things. It seems like a cop-out answer. No, it really is. So when they have holes, they don't have that special quality back at this point that can get to and through it. And so in order to have a good running game, you got to have run creases and you need both. Okay. They work hand in hand. It's like trying to drive a an automobile, you can have a great engine. You don't have tires, it ain't going anywhere. You know, if you don't have a transmission and you got great tires, it ain't going anywhere. You need both. But a great back will make a line more than the line makes the great back. But if you – it's like a seesaw or it's like a pendulum in, you know, how good one unit is can affect the other, and you could have a really good unit. They're just the opposite right now. When they're blocking well, they can't really take advantage of it because they don't have that special quality, which, you know, which is why I always tell folks that, you know, you can sit there and focus on how a recruiting ranking is, but that's not relevant. It's who's there, how good are the players at each position, how well you develop them, and do you have difference makers? And right now, trying to find those difference makers in the run game for LSU has been a challenge. Guys missing, the guys that are there, they're a little bit young, a little bit late seeing it. You know, all those things are contributing to a subpar run game for LSU at this point.
You know, I'm going to give you a little flashback. I was in high school, and, you know, you pick favorite players and whatever, but you don't know what you're talking about. And so I remember talking about Gerald Riggs. You remember Gerald Sr., right?
Yes, I do. I do.
Tough, tough running back. And I was talking to something about my football coach. I was a freshman in high school. And I was like, oh, he's so great. And he looked at me and was like, no, Gerald's good. I was like, what do you mean? And I still remember his phrasing. I've always used this as a measuring stick. He said, if it's a four-yard hole, Gerald will get you 4 yards just about every time. He said, you want the back, they'll turn that into 6 or 7. That's LSU right now. Four-yard hole, four-yard game.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, they've got the backs that we say, you know, you need four, you get four, and that's it. And, you know, if you need six, you get four. You just – they don't have that. And so you've got to have guys that can, as you say, take – creases and make more of it. You know, the great Gale Sayers used to say 16 inches of daylight. And, you know, it literally meant that they, and obviously he was great, and Barry Sanders and a lot of great ones. It's give them a crease. It's vision to see it, explosiveness to and through the hole, and then obviously the ability to make you miss or to get after contact, or what we call avoidance yards, are critical. That's what you want from the back. But you also have up front, you have to have the ability to create those creases, and there's a timing element to the run game that I think people miss.
It's that phrase, get skinny.
Well, yeah, and it's –
to turn your shoulder, get skinny right when you have to.
In the passing game, it's, well, the guy is open, but the ball's not there, and then when the ball's there, he's not open. Yeah. It's timing. Well, in the run game, you've got it blocked. The guy's not through the hole. It closes up. And so, well, boy, that line's not getting any. Well, they did. It wasn't hit quick enough. And then there are times where it's hit quick enough, but the opening is not there. You're not doing a good enough job. It's timing in the run game. And, you know, they're not real creative with the run game. And one of the things you have to do that you can help schematically is you can run a little quicker tempo. You can try to get guys misaligned. We just talked about it with Florida in the first segment. You've got to be able to do some of those things to help your running game. If you're not getting the timing, what you need to do is create greater spacing so the time element is mitigated to some degree and you can still get some rushing yards. Because if you can't run the football, you're not going to be able to pass protect well enough. And we're going to find out here in the next 2 weeks where 5, 6, and 7 rank in the SEC, in the SEC West, excuse me. And I think all those things have some qualities. But LSU, Mississippi State, LSU, Auburn next week, we're going to see, right? Because right now I have a pretty good feel who the top four are.
Yep. And then there is up for grabs the bottom three. Chris, always appreciate your time, brother. We'll do it again in 7 days from right now.
Hey, look forward to it, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Chris Landry again, LandryFootball.com. And if you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, he had Chris Landry on and Auburn, and you didn't even ask him anything about Auburn. We got Jason Caldwell. Don't we have Jason Caldwell on? We got Jason Caldwell coming on, folks, for hour two from inside the Auburn Tigers, as well as anything in the SEC that we missed. It's a Wednesday during the season, so that means Russ Mitchell's coming on from College Football News, etc. All of that's coming up after we take a quick break here at the end of Hour 1. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.